Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Messy & Co., an episode we were not hoping to make quite yet, but it is, of course, the post-match reaction to Inter Miami being eliminated from the MLS playoffs. I'm Ashley with my co-host Gian and a special guest. Gian, why don't you introduce our special guest?
We have our special guest here, Xavi Guerrero, our colleague in the press booth. Really excited to have him on. Obviously, we have great conversations when we're at the games, a friend of ours. And we're happy to have you here. You just made it, so we're excited.
I'm glad. I'm happy that you guys invited me. It's always a pleasure. And I just made it. I just flew from my son's four-year-old birthday party. You know, just got home and I'm ready to rock and talk about what happened yesterday.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're so glad to have you, Xavi. We have a lot to talk about. Where do we begin? We'll start with the basics, the things that we know for sure. For sure, Inter Miami lost last night to Atlanta in game three of the first round of the MLS playoffs in what was a very intense, high-stakes game that had some questionable moments for sure and some, you know, definitely some things to talk about. But the bottom line was Atlanta won 3-2. Inter Miami just could not get over that final hump of you know, not just winning but scoring multiple goals when they had multiple chances. Obviously, Gusan for Atlanta just was, you know, playing with his head on the ground, just absolutely insane, like Thibaut Courtois type of performance for three matches in a row. And Inter Miami and Messi couldn't figure it out. So we're getting a lot of comments from YouTube. We got a lot of people tuned in. Let's start with just each person saying, you know, what is their kind of like initial thoughts, feelings, surprised, not surprised? Before, I don't want to get into yet the season overall and if we're disappointed or happy, not yet. Let's just start with last night's game. How do we feel?
I'll give it to you, Xavi. Special okay. guest.
Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you start, Xavi.
Well, where to begin, right? Let's begin from the beginning. I was going into this match, I wasn't overly optimistic. Why? Because Inter Miami did not save the best for last. What I mean by that, they weren't playing the best football. They weren't playing terrible, right? But they weren't this team that during a stretch of the season looked like clearly the best team in MLS. Points where they would control, dominate possession, but they were scoring. Their expected goal was, you know, for Inter Miami, they were number one in expected goals because they were over the expected goals. They made more goals than they were expected during the regular season. And in the playoffs, something turned. Something happened, and I think what happened was Atlanta happened. Atlanta's defensive scheme, and the biggest thing of all that happened was Brad Guzan somehow found the fountain of youth, somehow found the elixir, and somehow found superpowers. Because the difference between Inter Miami being eliminated and Inter Miami passing to the next round comfortably, winning each game by several goals, was Brad Guzan. He was amazing. He even in this last game, you know, he blocked. He was on. He did everything that he could possibly do to win this series for Atlanta. So I just think that everything aligned. But one thing in the previous game over at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, everybody was talking about how the atmosphere was electric, how it was an experience. how that helped and pushed the team. You know, they won in the last extra, in what, 90+4 in that, you know, crucial shot by Silva. But I didn't feel that same electricity, you know, and I don't want to be because I follow the team and I this is, you know, I like this team, but I didn't feel that same essence. I didn't feel that same electricity. I didn't feel that same vibe. I didn't feel that these guys came into a stadium where they thought that they had no chance. No, I think they came in very confident. I think that they played that way. Inter Miami started great. Inter Miami, if you stop them for the first 20 to 25 minutes, after that, then it's a fair fight. Because Miami had a chance to get goals early. Miami had a chance to get goals late, but it's just Kusan was amazing. So I think he was the difference. I think he was the difference in this series. But I believe, like I wrote, and I think it was in one of the tweets, one of the tweets is this is now the most dangerous team left in the playoffs, because it's a team that believes, has confidence, and is a team that plays with an attitude of we have nothing to lose. So, you know, it's sad. I think it's the shame and the pain for Inter Miami, because it's shameful for a team to win the Supporters Shield and with a record, you know, MLS record, come in with the roster and the expectations of the season and go out like this. It's shameful. It's painful. And then there's going to be a lot of shakeup.
Well, that's the question. That's something we have to get to. Will there be? But go ahead, Dion. What about you?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with Xavi. This team is not the same team that we became accustomed to throughout the season, especially with the amount of goals that they were scoring. We knew that there were defensive issues from the beginning. That's something that's been talked about through the entire season. So that wasn't too much as a surprise. But when you've got a team that has an expected goal of about three point something, like that, you're expecting the goals to come in, and this team goes against Atlanta, and they just weren't doing what you expected of them. I think when I'm looking at kind of like the points and where things went downhill for Inter Miami in the postseason, it's number one is the worst thing that happened was having to go against Atlanta, because Atlanta is the one team that had our number throughout the season. They beat us 3-1 at Chase Stadium. They tied us 2-2 in Atlanta. They had our number. They knew how to play us. They're the team that best matched up against us. And we had the hardest time throughout the season. So I think that's where it all went wrong from the beginning. It just ended up happening that we were up against them. Second thing that ended up happening is you lose Busquets. I mean, you can talk whatever you want about Busquets, but Busquets to me is probably along with Messi, the most important player on that team, more important than Alba, more important than Suarez. He's the guy that connects the defense to the midfield, regardless of if he's playing in the midfield or like he played a game where he was one of the center backs. You missed in game 2 and game 3, the majority of game 3, that passing, that connection from the defense to the forwards. There was just not – Redondo didn't give you that. Cremaschi didn't give you that. Like, it was just it stunk. It really messed up this team, because – you talk about that connection with Jordi Alba to Messi, right? The many times that we've seen those goals, where do you think that connection starts? Who do you think that gets that initial ball into Jordi Alba so many times to lead to those Jordi Messi goals? It starts from Busquets in the midfield, and we completely missed that. I believe that there's a stat out there that says out of the 6 games that Busquets didn't play in the season, including with this last one against Atlanta, which we can add it to that because he only played a marginal amount of minutes. They only won 1 game without him on the pitch of the 6 that he missed. It shows how important Busquets is to this team and how much of a factor it was, I think, in Inter Miami not having success against this Atlanta team. The other part, Xavi mentioned it, Gusan. Gusan looks like he fell into that same pool in that movie of Cocoon with the older people that come out like rejuvenated, like, it was just insane. The guy is 40 years old. Yeah. And I'm almost 40, but so I 40 still young. I'll say that. But at the end of the day, man,
that in goal?
But at the end of the day, Gusan, like, he kept them in game 1, because that game 1 could have easily been 5-6 goals from Inter Miami. I think he had 8 or 9 saves that game. game two, obviously Atlanta wins, and then game three, he comes in clutch many times. That gives life to Atlanta. That gives Atlanta the confidence.
Yeah.
When you have the goalie confidence. Like that, like it's yeah. just they really. I think it was just frustrating for Miami. As someone that plays soccer and others of you that maybe are in chat that play soccer, man, like you try shooting 2, 3, 4 times and the goalie stop, that gets frustrating after a while. And it could even get into your head, make you think twice before you shoot and you maybe make the wrong play. So I think that was huge also for Inter Miami. And I guess I'll end with this. The other thing is Atlanta realized that Thiaré was 10 times faster than both of our center backs. Inter Miami apparently didn't figure that out the entire time, because the way that they were playing Thiaré was just completely ridiculous. The two center backs that we had were basically like traffic cones. Like, look, I think when you have a guy like Thiaré that's playing right in line with your two center backs that knows he's 20 times faster, and that basically Atlanta has figured out, don't build out of the back. The moment you get the ball, 1, 2 touches, you're putting it over the center backs and having Thiaré do the rest. You have to figure that out as a coach, Estata Martino. You have to figure that out as defenders and say, okay, if that's the case, I'm going to try to play the offside trap on Thiaré and try to make sure that I'm not giving him the ability to make that run on me. The second part is, if I'm not going to do the offside trap, which they didn't, give myself enough space where I don't have Thiaré right in line with me. It's going to kill me on that run. Give myself 5, 6 feet behind him so that I have time, a head start on him. And I think that was, to me, many times what led to a lot of the dangerous plays in this game. So those are a few points that could get into a lot more, but I just think overall it was just not a good performance from an Inter Miami team that was the best team in the league. We expected a lot more.
Yeah, a lot of good points there, and all things that were true, and the things that the three of us were discussing in the press box, because the three of us sit next to each other, so we have this commentary during the games as well. I want to just get to a couple comments that we're getting on YouTube just to address some points that maybe we can talk about. Black Story, I see a few of yours. I'm going to save it for the end because I think it's an interesting point you bring up and something we have to talk about. But so you guys are going to just wait and trust me that it's something interesting. But here's, Yannick Bright, another example of, we miss Busquets severely. And I will say, and I said this to Gian literally as we were driving home and talking on the phone. I said this like verbatim last night. I was like, this team, this Inter Miami team, yes, we miss Yannick Bright, and he's been an absolute superstar. I can't speak more high of him, but we shouldn't have won or lost based off of Yannick Bright can play. He's a rookie, and he's been a professional soccer player for 8 months. And so the fact that this team and the structure and all of the play was dictated whether Yannick Bright was available is a problem, is one of the problems. And, I think the defense is something we really need to talk about, and just tactically, like, obviously we're going to have to talk about Tata a little bit. I think David Martinez did not have a good game, and he played really well when he came in earlier in the season. He got injured, and I think he just hasn't been able to bounce back from it. Tomas Aviles, and I think this is what I want us to be as our next subject we're going to talk about, because we're going to get to Messi, we're going to get to Suarez, we're going to get to all of that. But the defense is what I want to talk about right now, and I will say it. I think Tomas Aviles either needs to go or he needs to not be a starter, because he has shown all year that he just is not what the team needs. And the reason I say that is because, say what you want about other parts of the roster construction, and we can talk about that and what went well, what didn't. But here's the truth. Messi and Suarez, and who knows if Suarez will be here next year. I think he will be. But let's just say Messi and Suarez, those two players are not coming back on defense. You knew that from game one in the preseason to now. That hasn't changed. So what does that mean? That means your defenders have to be quick, agile, and disciplined. And he was not that all season. And so for me, that's a big problem, because your Messi and Suarez isn't changing. You need to have the other parts of your team change in order to make it work. What are your thoughts just on defense overall, and specifically Tomas Aviles, Xavi?
Well, we've known this for a while, right? That's been the Achilles of this team, even from its inception. They've always tried to get a solid defense, right? And now we've known that the center back, even from last season, was the weak point of this team. You have a young guy, he's 20 years old. He's an undisputed starter. He unquestionable starter for some reason for Tata. And he didn't have a great season. I don't think he was terrible. I do believe he makes too many mistakes. Sometimes he's aggressive in a manner that's not efficient or intelligent, right? That's if I can use that word. But I think yesterday he had a better game than most will give him credit for. Specifically, he had two or three one-on-one situations on breakaways that he defended. A couple of slides that he timely slide tackles that he took the ball away that were very important opportunities for Atlanta. So if any other of those center backs were there, they would have got toasted. If Kristaps was there, they would have scored. Atlanta would have scored 4 goals. So I don't think he had a terrible game yesterday. I really don't. But I understand the frustration. I understand what everybody's saying because I see it too. Sometimes he makes boneheaded mistakes. And I asked Tata once about this. What do you do with, you know, when you have a guy that repetitively commits silly yellow card fouls? He said you coach him up, you talk to him, you explain to him. So they have to have this patience when a kid that's only 20. We have to understand he's 20. But I wouldn't give up on him. I wouldn't give up on him. But definitely I think that you need center backs that are mature players. Martinez, when he started, like you said, was playing a very high level. Injured, not the same. It's the same story with Kristaps. Kristaps, when he came last year, he was playing well. I thought, what a fundamental, you know, he plays his position. He understands the game. He gets the ball out. He doesn't, you know, he's always in the right spot. He won't make those mistakes of not being in the right spot, but he's slow. This year he got injured and he's not been the same. Freire was playing solid, gets injured. He's gone. It's like, it's some sort of curse. I don't know what's going on with the center backs in this team. If I'm a top quality center back and they say, hey, Inter Miami wants you, I'm saying they got to pay me double and I need to get, you know, extra insurance to make sure, because there's something
going on. Jamal Miller, now we're, you know, imagine how different things
Know what, everybody, it's like they say that the backup quarterback is always like the fan favorite when the quarterback's doing terrible. I think Jamal Miller was a good player, but I don't think he was that special. Like
last year, we can check the tape. I talked very highly of Jamal Miller. I was very sad when he was traded.
I think he was a good player. I think he definitely would have done better than you know what our guys did so far this season. But if you're gonna say David Martinez, Jamal Miller at their peak, at their highs, I'm not sure. I might get Martinez, to be honest with you. Jamal Miller was times where he looked slow. I mean, I remember one of the games, not particularly the team against, they got him in the box, one quick move, broke him, and he's like, you know, he's not great. I know everybody loves him here. He's not great. He's a good player. He's a good player, but he's not great. He wasn't even starting now in the Canadian team. So he's a good player, but I don't think, you know, he was a solution. Damian Lowe was a good player also, but he wasn't great. But those guys were all moved. You know, now if you tell me why were those moves made, those moves were made for everything that came after for Inter Miami. That's why those moves were made, you know?
Gian, what about you? What about just defense in general? And this is also something I want to bring up. I'm really surprised Noah Allen didn't get to play yesterday, because in game 2, I thought he was phenomenal. And what this team needed was they needed speed and agile. And you weren't getting that. And I wish we saw quicker adjustments. But anyway, not to interrupt.
No, I mean, that's a good point. We were also talking about that in the press box about why the heck Noah Allen wasn't in there. I mean, I think, you know, obviously this defense has been shaky throughout the season, shaky in so many different ways, shaky from performances, shaky in the sense that you couldn't count on the same group of personnel throughout the season, which I also think made it very difficult from a coaching perspective as well, not knowing if you're going to have Aviles the next game or not. He comes back from a yellow card and you're like, okay, well, how long is he going to be with me? And the very next game he gets a yellow card and he's out again. And it's just like, I think it's tough from a coaching perspective to not know what the heck is who you can depend on. So, we obviously know that the center back position is somewhere where I think, especially thinking about the future and knowing that you've got the Club World Cup coming up, you're going to think about Martinez and Aviles going up against Mbappe and players like that. It's like, dude, if they're struggling against
Jamal versus Noah Allen, book it.
Yeah, so, you know, and obviously I think Tata feels the same way. He's very iffy on that defense where he's played three center backs because he knows he can't with the current personnel. He's afraid to play two center backs. So he as well, it's not just us and the perception of the media and the fans. He very well kind of, I believe, feels the same way. To which I thought was strange. We also talked about this amongst us. Like, he goes in playing three center backs and out of nowhere he changes the formation and goes and plays two center backs. And I think we suffered for that very clearly. He was asked by a colleague in the post game about it. Were you wrong in changing the formation? Do you think you were wrong in playing with two center backs when you've been playing with three center backs this entire time? To which he basically said, well, we lost. So, you know, I guess I'll have to concede to I was possibly wrong. So I think that, that was strange. And then just going back to why didn't we play certain players and play Noah Allen and talking about defense and needing more of a presence. You know, obviously no Yannick Bright, no Busquets in the defense. It was weird also that we had Kremaski in there instead of Gressel, who I think would have provided a lot more help on the defensive end, especially when you're only playing with two center backs. So to me, I tweeted out earlier on our Messi & Co. Twitter profile that when I'm looking at this team and looking at the future, I don't see these two current starters on starting next season. I can see a world where Aviles, because you have him under contract through 2026, you loan him out. He needs the development. I'm with Xavi. Don't give up on him. But my approach, I'm not sure what Xavi's approach is. He may want to share, but my approach is don't give up on him either, but give him the ability to go and continue to get better somewhere else in the meantime while you bring someone in for a Club World Cup. And then Christoph, he's up for renewal, club option.
No,
and put David Martinez. That's an upgrade for your bench because he's on loan for the next 6 months. And then that allows you to kind of upgrade at that two center back position. But to me, that's number one priority over everything is upgrading your defense, your center back.
Yeah. I mean, look, like, you know, last night was a perfect example. And you know, there are injuries, you know, like we said, Freire, you know, Christoph obviously was not really, he wasn't an option. Ryan Saylor has had some opportunities and sometimes comes across shaky. I actually think he was more consistent last year and he probably should have gotten a little bit more playing time this year to kind of keep his confidence. But we're going to do another episode next week going through each player and kind of giving like our predictions, our thoughts, what we want next season to look like, all those things before we kind of break for the holidays. But and I see a lot of comments about, you know, Callander, Gressel and other players and I want to keep them and I'm going to keep a record of them and we're going to talk about it next episode. But what we need to talk about now, and we've gone 22 minutes without really talking about, and what this show is about, what this whole story is about, what this roster was constructed for and about, was Lionel Messi. And I'm really curious, not only from our listeners' perspectives, I want to know what you guys think about Messi's performance and just, you know, the overall season. But from you two, for all intents and purposes, Messi had goals and assists in all three matches, right? And he had multiple shots on goal, had multiple opportunities to score. And if you're looking at it from a statistics standpoint, you'd probably be, you know, saying, well, Messi did his share. Did it seem that way? Do you think we got the best Messi? Do you think Messi played to the best of his ability? Did Guzan just have his number this time? And maybe it was just bad circumstances, defense, some things that are out of his control, or do you see something more there? If you want, Gian can go first for this one, Xavi, since you're a guest, we can let Gian start with the fire.
I'll let Xavi rest a little bit. He's got to compose his thoughts. You keep putting him on the spot.
I know, so I'm putting you on the spot.
No, look, to me, I think Messi did, I mean, if you look at it in just an all-encompassing performance type of way, he did. He had a great performance throughout the season. He had a good performance in the playoffs. You look at his season, he had 25 games, 21 of which he started. He had 23 goals, 13 assists, basically a goal plus an assist every 55 minutes. I mean, if that is not like MVP level, season level performance, that's why you Inter Miami brought him in here. That's why the league wanted him. That he had an all-star performance throughout the season. That's no doubt. I think that when you are the best player in the world for many years, where many still consider you a top five player, many consider you still the best player in the world, and your team goes out against the number nine seed in a playoff, there's nothing that you can do that will take the blame off of you. Everybody expects him to put this team on his shoulders. Everybody expects him to, if he scores one goal, he should have scored two. If he scores three goals, he should have scored four. That's how it goes when you, and you've said it to yourself, Ashley, in the past, like the expectations that, and the standard that Messi has set for himself throughout history, it sometimes can be a thorn in his own side because of what others expect from him. So I think, yeah, I think that if this team didn't make it, I think Messi should have done more. I'll say that, but I don't think in any way you can say that he had a poor performance at all. I think
right, like both can be true.
I can look at 10 other guys on that team that should have done that. If they would have done something differently, this team would have been going into the next round, into the semifinal. So, and you look again to our previous point about Gusan. If Gusan didn't have a historic performance, I mean, you're talking about some of these goals that Messi had or missed because of Gusan would have gone in. So look, all in all, I'm happy with what Messi gave on the pitch. So I think he could have given more. Yeah, I do. But I'm not putting this on him. And I think that for me, he's still the MVP throughout the league. And yeah, that's kind of where I stand right now.
Yeah, Messi had an outstanding season for all accounts. You know, obviously he gets that hurt all the time. Like last season, he got hurt, missed games. This season, he got hurt, missed games. So that's like a pattern that he's setting that it's, you know, it's not a good thing. But as far as the season, he had an amazing season when he was in there. He was fantastic. His numbers put up against anyone in the league are, you know, comparable or better. But I see people writing about MVP. All the MVP candidates, the top ones, Cucho, sent home early. Acosta, sent home early. Messi, sent home early. Evander.
Yeah.
Right. So who's the MVP? Brad Guzan? He won the MVP based on the playoffs? No, I don't think so. Now, regarding this playoff series, I don't think Messi was terrible. And it is, we have these expectations, you know, well-deserved because he is the GOAT. He's known as the GOAT. And if you're the greatest player of all time, and if you're still playing, I have one of the guys that sometimes when I tweet, he writes to me, and I think he's from Argentina. And he wrote, you know, Messi has nothing to prove. He's already conquered football, you know. And I haven't answered him, but I was going to answer him. And I was just, he hasn't retired yet. If he's still playing, he still has to put up and he still has to provide and prove himself. Well, maybe prove this himself is not the word. He needs to you know, make good on the $20 million that he's making, on the expectations, on all the kids wearing Messi jerseys. People expect greatness from him. Was he great? He wasn't great, but he was really, really good. He was good enough for the team to win.
To win, and yeah.
He needed a little more. Unfortunate, Busquets. I'm with Gian. Busquets to me is the glue that holds this team together.
Yeah.
You know, because when they needed somebody to sit in the center back position and calm the chaos, he did that. When they need someone to go in the midfield and calm the chaos and get those young guys that are running like maniacs, like rockets everywhere, to relax and play football. Hey guys, this is how you do it. I'm a step slow, but my mind is 20 steps ahead of you. This is how you do it. Boom. Like the song. This is how you do it. Boom. This is how you do it. Okay. So they missed that, but there's no excuse. I said it at the beginning of the season, and I'll say it again. This team had the deepest roster perhaps in all of MLS history, right? You one guy goes out, another guy comes in. You have Gressel, which is a guy, you know, people are saying that he wasn't that great. He had like one of the top assist guys for a while he was consistently playing. He was in the top of the charts in assists. He was doing his job when Messi was out. Why he didn't get any minutes against this team, why he didn't play 1 minute in Mercedes-Benz. Sometimes you know, when you put a player that's familiar, he won a championship with them, right? Maybe you want that leadership, that maturity, but Tata, that's the only issue I have with Tata is some inconsistencies. It's some drastic changes from one game to the other. Someone's asking why Kramaski. He mentioned. He said, look, and his mind is logical, and it makes sense when he makes the argument. He says, look, I have Messi, Suarez, Rojas. I can't put another guy that's not going to defend. What did he want? He wanted Kramaski's defensive effort. He tracks that. What does, and I'm going to say it on the show so it stays there, the bright line, right? What does Yannick Bright do?
Oh, God, here we go, yeah.
What does he do? Side to side. He covers all that space. He's all over the place, coast to coast. He's everywhere on the field. He needed someone like that because when you have these players, you need someone like that. So when Busquets was playing and he had Gomez and Redondo playing at their top level, Redondo, to me, dropped a little bit. He came in as one of the most talented players from Argentina, one of the top prospects, and he's good, but he hasn't been great. You expected him more, especially when you have that last name, when you remember if you ever saw his father play. So, and that's a big burden on his shoulder and unfair. So I'm sorry, yeah. Federico, that I said that, but he was playing better early in the season, and now he gives you a great effort and he's on top, but he was more quality and that was missing. Gomez didn't have a fantastic game either. And during the season, when they were in that long stretch, he was playing amazing too, scoring, assisting. You know, something happened where everything, everything aligned for Atlanta, where everything fell apart kind of for Miami somehow. And even with that, the only reason they are eliminated is that guy called Brad Guzan. Because these three goals by Atlanta, Miami could have had five and they'll move on. But Guzan blocked one going the other direction with his big paw right on the line, like one time. And then over here, and then he's that he was amazing. I'm pretty sure he has never had a stretch of three games as good in form as he has now. And that's what it took to eliminate Miami. And here we are talking about it, you know. Yeah. And the little towel, remember the little towel they gave us at the game yesterday before the game started? I said, hey, is this towel for us to cry after the game, or is it to cheer? Because I'm not sure. I really wasn't sure.
Yeah, dude, look, I just want to say something, Xavi and Ash, just talking about obviously Messi's performance and going more into this playoff series. Look, early on in the season, I specifically remember Tata saying he wanted Messi to play higher up with Suarez and focus on scoring, not having to go deeper into the midfield to have the ball and playmake. He specifically said he wanted that. Now, when you miss a guy like Busquets, who we've said plenty of times so far throughout the show, who was the glue, the guy that, you know, connected to the attackers and that, you don't have that. You then expected Redondo to take over that. And to what Xavi said, Redondo didn't live up to what he had shown, but it was very promising what we saw early on. So then you think, okay, who's next in line? Matias Rojas many times was the guy who we said when Messi would be out would be the guy that would kind of fill that space in of playmaking, getting the ball and helping with the fluidity within that sector of the field. He was basically out in no man's land and I think very underused in the game. So what ended up happening? Messi had to drop back many, many, many times into the midfield to grab the ball. And I think that part of that, again, I still think he had a good performance. I think he could have been better, but I'm going to attribute whatever we think that was missing to him having to play out of the position that best suits him. And he just couldn't focus on the attack. He had to focus on bringing up the ball and playmaking because there was nobody else on the field doing that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think part of, like we said, a conversation that we're going to have next week is about the overall roster construction and what were some of the elements outside of, you know, the Barcelona four, outside the other seven players that are on the pitch.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What are the pluses and minuses? What needs to be improved? What doesn't? I think it should be said, we're saying all these people who should or shouldn't play or who should have gotten more minutes, this, that, and the other, whether it's Robert Taylor or Gressel, et cetera. how many more wingers does this team need? How many more offensive players does this team need when you know Messi and Suarez are playing 90 minutes of every game? And, you know, I mean, Gomez is what, ranked the number two best young prospect in MLS. There's not many people you'd bench him for. Matias Rojas, we said the same thing. We want that banger effect. And that's when you have lineups like that, you cannot keep, you can't play Robert Taylor. You can't, you know, start Campana. You can't play, Russell, and you have to, you know, there's only so many positions available. And so it just kind of, but then when you lose a Busquets who is 37 years old, 36 years old, and for all intents and purposes should not be the only glue of your team, although he's amazing, the best to ever play his position, he shouldn't be the only thing. And then Yannick Bright, who's, you know, like I said, been a professional for 8 months, coming straight out of college from the MLS draft, can't expect him to be the glue either. And so it comes back to just the fact that the way this team was in the end constructed, injuries aside, the way the coaching was set up, the way this game and this series ended up playing out, I think you said it perfectly, Gian. Messi was not the reason we lost, but he also was not the reason we didn't win. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's both. He wasn't the problem and he played great, but he wasn't the greatest. And so, yeah. But you can't always, like, you know, it can't be blamed. Messi cannot be blamed for this loss and this performance. He played great. And he did, we just expect perfection because he's the greatest player of all time. So I think both things can be true, where no one can say he didn't play well or that he didn't try or this and the other. But in the end, just with how how the ball rolled, how the players around him played, it didn't work out. And that's going to be the question, because the most important point is that, you know, you guys were saying earlier about, like, we have time for Toto to, you know, don't give up on him yet. We have this much of a window left with Lionel Messi. And so there really isn't room to have other players on the field have those long-term goals, or there is, but then they can't be the thing you're relying on, because you have now really only one more guaranteed season of Lionel Messi, one more. And what's going to happen? You know, that's what we're going to have to figure out. So the team, and we've had this conversation a lot, Gian and Javi, I'm curious about your perspective. This is the truth, whether people like it or not, whether commentators like it or not, whether MLS fans like it or not, whether Inter Miami fans like it or not, everything is around Messi. The game, the league, the team, the fans, everything is around Messi. And that is what it's going to be until he retires. So you better figure it out, because that's not changing. So figure it out to get the best out of it. That's my opinion.
Well, when you have a guy like Messi, who can we compare in American sports to Messi? The closest thing would be Michael Jordan. I would say Jordan, because Jordan is more of a worldwide name than Brady. But the closest thing would be Jordan, and Jordan falls short of Messi. And people might not want to hear that, but on the world stage, he falls way short because you didn't have.
There's also less of a world stage of the NBA, right?
They play. They're playing basketball all over the world right now. So, but even in Europe, anywhere you go, Africa, anywhere you go, you're gonna see kids wearing Messi, right? Messi jerseys. It revolves around him. He is the attraction. All eyes came to MLS because of the decision he made, right? Because he came here, people turned their eyes and started watching MLS. What do I see? Yes, it's gonna revolve around him, but this team lacks speed. It lacks top-end speed in the front, back. In the midfield, we're decent, we're good, because you had guys like Gomez, which you're not going to have anymore. You had guys like Redondo, which, you know, Kramaski, Ruiz, they're decently, they got decent speed. But a top-end forward, the Jamal, the forward for Atlanta, these guys are just blazing, right? They're just blazing past people. And then you have some fast guys in the back. We don't. Inter Miami doesn't have that. And if you're going to continue to have a player like Messi, if you're going to continue to have a player like Suarez, you're going to have to put speed around them. And sometimes it's to the detriment of the technical ability. Sometimes, not always, because those guys that have top technical ability and top speed are playing in Europe They're most of them are not playing MLS. You have some MLS talent that's going to go to Europe. So I think that's what Inter Miami needs. They need speed, but you also need the guy. What wins games in playoffs? You know, defense in any sport. Defense and not making mistakes, being efficient, and that's what happened. Miami was inefficient and just mistakes, and you could say a little bit unlucky. The first goal rubs off a player, goes across, and you know, was a perfect pass for the score for Atlanta. That was, you know, it wasn't drawn up that way. The Atlanta player tried to make a pass. It was intercepted, went off, and it actually became a perfect pass for the goal. So things like that happened. That didn't happen for Miami, right, too often, except maybe in the first goal where Guzman blocked it and it landed pretty good for Rojas. But I think, yeah, Messi is going to continue to be the center, the sun, and everything is going to circulate around him until he decides to hang up the boots because of just the name and the ability. People want to go see him, right? They know he's 37.
We say all the time, he's still a top 10 player in the world.
Packages. Yeah, there's packages from South America. People are traveling, specifically coming to Miami, staying in a hotel, going to the beach, and then going to the game. You know, this is a thing, and it's going to continue to be a thing. And now he needs to make it to the new stadium. He needs to play at least one season there. So I think he's going to be around, and now they need to build something greater. One thing that Tata said in the press conference that I think we have to take a step back and realize, because, you know, the season, yeah, it's a failure, but compared to what this team has been in its first 4 years, this was a fantastic season. It was an amazing season. It was two steps beyond anything that has ever happened for this team. You know, it's only the fifth year. It's still a team that's growing, and I believe they set a standard in MLS, and they set a standard for Inter Miami. They're going to continue to have to bring top players to the league. Maybe a little younger, perhaps, you know, maybe a little bit younger. But I'm not going to complain about seeing Boosie, seeing Alba, seeing Suarez, and seeing these guys in person and seeing they still at a very high level. You know, the age comes into a factor in the game later into the game, because you do see when the speed of the game for Miami slows down a little bit, when they start having a little bit more holes, you know, all around the field because they're tired. That does make a difference, and that's where you got to have some substitutes to be able to come in and refresh the team.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Gian, I want to pose something to you, because as much as we're not doing a 2-hour show, so there are some other topics I want to get to, and I want to start with you, Gian, on this. Looking at the season overall. And I want you to include a grade for not only the season, but also for Tata and for Messi. So three grades, okay? Let me give a little perspective first, and Javi just said it as well. And I want to hear in the chat too. Inter Miami has only been a club for 5 years. 5 years, it's only been a club, okay? First three were not good. Bottom of the barrel, even last season, 15th place, right? All of those things were true. You bring in Messi, you bring in a couple other pieces, you know, you're creating this spectacle. Both seasons, no MLS Cup. Season one, Leagues Cup trophy. Season two, Supporter Shield. You're going now from zero out of, I think, 12 trophies in the first three seasons or four seasons to now two of four. So does that make a difference in what you're thinking of? Is the team going on a higher trajectory, or is it Messi and just what the team is promising, what the roster is promising, how they're spending, how they're marketing? You actually still have an even higher standard. And maybe you don't have the answer right now, but it's something to think about, because, and Tata too, like, we won two trophies in 2 years. One of them, we broke a record. We went from losing everything. We've seen turnarounds, but is it enough, and is it the right kind? That's what you have to kind of start to think about. And I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of that's something that I feel like I got to do an essay on it, and maybe spend a few hours to answer all of that completely, which I'm sure we'll do an episode next week where we can do an entire roundup of the season. But just some brief thoughts on some of the things you said. I think, like, for me, when I'm thinking about this season, you know, I don't want to keep doing this thing where the team did good and improved year over year and then call it a successful season. Like, I think that's a cop-out, especially when you've got Messi on the team, you've got Jordi Alba, Suarez, Busquets, and you expect so much more from this team. I'm not going to pretend, in my opinion, that this was a successful season. I don't think it was a successful season at all. I think that we under-delivered, we underperformed, the team over-promised, and they just didn't get to where they should have. To some of the comments that were there, Conca Champions, this team should have won Conca Champions. With Messi on the pitch, they should have won. While he did face some adversity, I think that was a hit. But okay, let's say you just miss out on Conca Champions. Okay, they missed out on Leagues Cup. Also, that's another big thing.
Messi wasn't there for it too, though, and neither was Suarez. Something to think about.
That's why I said there's some cases they faced adversity, but at the end of the day, this is a team that was missing some players, but they went on a stretch there where they won like 9 of 10 or 9 games without Messi. So this isn't like a crappy team either. Like, I think that when you look at the totality of the season, you're not winning Champions Cup, you're not winning Leagues Cup. You get knocked out in the first round against the number 9 seed that barely made it into the playoffs, that had to play a wild card match. Like, you know, those that are saying it's a successful season are looking at it because we were like a really crappy team a few years ago. And then they're saying we won Supporters Shield, which to me is, I may get slack on this, but I think it's a meaningless trophy. That's just like a participation trophy. I don't think it means much, especially when you look at it this way. We won Supporters Shield and then we get knocked out in the first round. What the heck does Supporters Shield do for us? I don't feel better. Supporters Shield is only good if you win Supporters Shield and MLS Cup. You win Supporters Shield and no MLS Cup, everybody forgets about you. Nobody's going to remember who the hell won Supporters Shield. They're going to remember who won MLS Cup. In fact, if you ask the majority of people who is the best team in MLS, who is the champion of MLS, it's the one that won the cup, not the one that won Supporters Shield. And then you talk about, we won we won Supporters Shield and we're going to the Club World Cup. Let's not beat around the bush. The only reason we're going to Club World Cup is because Messi's on the field. We know that FIFA did us a favor. Like, they specifically didn't announce how they were going to pick the team that they were going to send to World Cup until they waited for Inter Miami to win Supporters Shield. If Inter Miami didn't win Supporters Shield, it wasn't going to be the Supporters Shield champion. They were going to see and wait if Inter Miami won the MLS Cup, and if they did, then that would have been the team that was going. So let's not beat around the bush there either. To me, at the end of the day, this team underdelivered. I'm happy that they've made progress. I think that there were some questions asked in the post game to Tata to see what kind of thing, what he could have taken from this season that maybe gives him some hope for next season. And we can take out a lot of stuff. We did a lot of good. I'm not going to pretend we didn't, but
not enough
in this season. We underdelivered, but I'm still hopeful for next. But yeah, that's how I feel.
Well, the team is trending in the right direction, right? They won something last year. They won something this year. We did expect. I expected them to win more. I said a minimum. I remember at the beginning of the season, a minimum of 2 of those 4 trophies would make it a success. I would accept that. I would hope that they were good enough to win all 4, which obviously they weren't good enough to win, except the Supporters Shield. I don't think it's a bad season. I think the team is trending. I think we have expectations kind of like a Real Madrid or Barcelona, like we're expecting them to be Barcelona, you know, Barcelona of America. It's not the same guys. You know, these guys are in their late 30s, but they're still steps ahead. And I think the team was good enough to win MLS Cup, and they didn't. They got eliminated in the Leagues Cup. Look how this team loses, if you look at it. In fantastic, outrageous, crazy ways. How did they lose to the champion, eventual champion, Columbus? They were up 2-0, looking like they were gonna cruise, and all of a sudden it turns back, boom, 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 and you know they beat them, and they're gone. And then Columbus goes on to win the championship. That should have been Miami, but it wasn't. They got eliminated in a crazy manner. Atlanta, if you look at all the statistics for these 3 games, Miami leads in the statistics. And it's the money that counts, right? It's the goals that count. Scoring is what counts. And they just couldn't do it. But they dominated these games. They took shots. And Brad Guzan will never ever play this way again in his life, ever. He was, and I'm starting to think, because they say there's you know, government experiments. I think he's a cyborg. I think they need to check him. He's a cyborg now. That's a government experiment that was there. Like this on, it, you know, it was fantastic. It was like RoboCop, but it is RoboGoalie. He was amazing. And this is how they lost. And I'm not even joking. He made some saves. We're watching the game yesterday. It's like, what?
We couldn't believe it.
And we're like, what? This guy, man, how was he doing this? It was because we lacked defense, and I thought we didn't care for the league championship. Nah, we cared. We just lost. Gusan was just fantastic. And so this is what it took to take this team out. So I'm hopeful that the team is trending in the right direction. Remember, let's talk about Argentina. Messi lost everything with Argentina. And in the last 3-4 years, he won everything. Because let's remember, he was losing everything. And back in the day, they called him Pecho Frio. Because I remember, because now none of the Argentinians say, oh, no, we never. No. They were calling him Pecho Frio, and they were attacking him and say that he was terrible and that he had no heart and that he sucked and that Maradona's the best. Blah, blah, blah. And now he's untouchable.
Yeah.
But it took that. It took some losing. It took getting to those finals. It took being in those games. It took, you know, building. And I think Inter Miami's building, and I think they're going to build. Will Messi be there for the long run? Absolutely. He's not.
No.
But he's the foundation. He's setting the foundation. He came in, and immediately this team won. And this the attitude in the locker room changed, and the culture changed, and the expectations for the team changed. And I think that he's setting and leaving that culture and that foundation. And not just him, the four Barcelona guys, because they all have, from what we know,
they're all so competitive. Yeah.
And they're very good locker room guys. They've been good with the players. They haven't been snobbish. No, they've been good with the young guys. They've been wanting to pass on this experience. So I think the team is building. Did I expect? Did I want more? Absolutely. But it's a marathon. It's only year 5. Let's look back. You know, let's look back on in year 10. See what's happened. If we don't have an MLS Cup by then,
we need to have bigger trophies with Messi, in my opinion. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I will just give a little pushback, Gian. Like, I agree with this point. While our season still can be a little, it is disappointing, and we did not win cups that we really should have made it farther in and definitely gone for. Supporter shield is still a very difficult thing to win, and it's like saying it means nothing is like saying that neither does the Premier League or La Liga, because they're all based on just points tally.
But is the one that wins the Premier League who has the most points in the league, is that the undisputed champ, or is there another tournament?
No, there's no other tournament. That's the champ.
No, that's the champ, and then they have the other
facetious. I know, but that's the point. It's like, it's not a disputed thing. It's not like after that, okay, then there's another tournament, and then 90% of the people are going to say, no, the one that had the most points is not the champion. The actual champion is the one that won the cup.
Who plays a 3-game series in football? When have you ever seen that? You play a home and away?
It's different.
I don't agree with that. Like, I don't agree with the supporter shield.
We're going to go to a 3-point contest, maybe.
Yeah, no, that's not. It's not apples to apples.
Hitting the ball on the top pole and the crossbar to see who does it. Like, yeah, we're making up stuff over here. But that's what it is, right? Inter Miami.
What does the Porter Shield mean? Like, what
it means that they were the best and most consistent team in the history of MLS
throughout the whole season, not just two games.
It's not a
It means that in the top leagues in Europe, they would have been champions.
It's a recognition. It's
but they would be Premier League or La Liga winners
in the U.S.
Would you consider them good then? If I said to you, they would, like last year. Manchester City only won the Premier League. They lost Champions League, they lost FA Cup, and they lost the Carabao Cup. Would you say that they weren't the best team in England?
Say the first part.
Manchester City won the Premier League because they had the highest points at the end of the season, but they lost the Champions League and they lost the FA Cup.
That's the difference, though. They won the Premier League. Inter didn't win MLS.
but you're changing what winning means.
They just didn't win the MLS Cup tournament.
They didn't win the tournament. That's like the FA Cup.
Can you acknowledge that there is a discussion, whichever whichever side you fall on, can you at least acknowledge that there is a discussion that you can ask many MLS fans all over the world, and you, who is the best team in MLS? The one that, or who is the champion? The one that got Supporters Shield or the one that won MLS Cup? Can you acknowledge that you will have different opinions?
Of course. Okay. Absolutely.
That's ridiculous. In Premier League, the one that won and had the most points is the best and is the champion. There's no in between. That's where the fault is to me. And that's why, to me, Supporters Shield becomes meaningless. I accept both of your opinions. There's no problem with that. But to me, having this format is what causes this discussion.
Yeah. That they have to live football, with it, right? This league has it. So you have to
work your ass off and perform. If you work your ass off and like Inter Miami did and get at the end of the season, have the most points, there should be no discussion. We shouldn't be having this discussion. And that's right. Where there's an issue, I think.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I think we can continue this specific conversation in our next week when we kind of give the season recap. But I think both things can be true. Again, like we said, that's there's no real black and white when it comes to sports and when it comes to this team. I think they improved exponentially from last season, and I think, you know, we've gotten two trophies in 2 years, but we have a very small window for Messi, and we are going all in. When you have these abject failures and you're not winning, you know, you're forget winning, you're not making it to the semifinals in either the CONCACAF Champions Cup or in the MLS Cup, then that's a problem. Like maybe you make it to the final in one or two of them and you lose, because any given day, any team could beat another. We'd be having a different conversation about the success of this season, but it's the fact that they didn't even get to the point to really compete in these tournaments. And I think League's Cup is a wash because Messi and Suarez were at Copa America. A lot of players were gone. They won it last year. They did not put a lot of into it this time. And if you think that's wrong, that's a different conversation. But I don't think it's because Inter Miami failed at League's Cup. I think they weren't planning on going all in when they had all of these players missing. So it's really the other three.
Not to get into this, because I know we've passed this point, but one thing I want, and we'll probably discuss this on the other episode, but one thing for everybody to think about, how can you be the best team in MLS with Supporters Shield if you haven't played every team in MLS?
True. But so yeah, I mean, it's a conversation, and all we can do now is see what's going to happen next. And neither of you guys answered this question that I asked, but I think it's what we should end on. And that is Tata Martino. We're getting a lot of chat about him. And soccer is an interesting game where I think there's so many factors that go into every single result, right? There's 11 players who have 11 really important jobs to do. You can say Drake underperformed. You can say Aviles underperformed. You could say Messi should have scored one or two more than he did. You can say all those things. And you can also say the coach didn't have the right tactics. But what actually changes, right? Like what do we think is going to cause the positive or negative effects? And a lot of it seems to be coming back to coaching. So give Tata a grade and let me know, where do you think, what's going to happen? Do you think he's going to get fired or do you think he's going to stay? That's the two questions I want an answer for.
No, he's definitely staying. I don't think he gets fired. I think he was a B plus, to be honest with you, because he got the team through a very tough stretch when Messi wasn't there. And I think they, you know, winning the Supporters Shield has to account for something. Why do I don't give him an A yet? I think there were some tactical decisions, some coaching decisions, some inconsistencies, a little bit of hard-headedness at times with Christophe and some he disappeared Gressel. I'm not saying that Gressel's the greatest player in MLS or Miami, but out of nowhere he disappeared, and he was a very productive player for the team, and especially in moments where you need mature players that can, you know, cope with the moment. And just be efficient and not make mistakes. I think he would have provided that for Miami. So I think he gets a B+ because it was a good season. I can't grade him lower than that. I can't give him a C, which would be average. I don't think he was average. I think he was good. I think he was pretty good. But he wasn't an A. And I give him another season. How long did Phil Neville coach into Miami? You know,
well, how many long did players, he go? Phil Neville had a far worse roster than Tata Martino has. He would always say
these are the players I've chosen. These are the players that I brought in. Yeah, but he didn't have Messi. Obviously, it wasn't that at that moment and at that time. But he had who he brought. And
yeah, Gian.
I think that Suarez, Messi, Jordi Alba, and Busquets are going to get together and decide if Tata Martino's staying on this team. He's a reason. Messi's a reason why he's on this team, and I think that that's what it's going to boil down to. Does Messi want him on the team? I think that he did a good enough job to warrant him coming back. But I'm like Xavi. I can't give him an A+ based off of the results. But I do think that he's a good coach. I think he's made some questionable decisions. But at the end of the day, it's whatever Messi's going to – they're going to consult him, obviously. And I think also I give him a B to a B+. You can't give him a C because he definitely wasn't average, especially when you look at that that period of time where – Messi was missing and he had some games without Suarez and this team continued to perform at a high level. I think that's something to applaud him for. And it's something to recognize him because not any coach can do that. And I also think when you've got Messi on the pitch and you've got these stars, there's a lot more pressure on you than playing with a team that, you know, doesn't have these guys. So I think I also have to applaud him on that. I think he did a good job of handling that pressure. Mm-hmm. Would I be bothered if he didn't come back? No. Because I think that this team next year is going to have even higher expectations, especially going into the Club World Cup. So I'd be okay with him being gone. I'd also be okay with him staying. I think he's earned the right to continue to coach this team.
Yeah, I feel similarly in that I like Tata Martino. I think that, to your point, he has been able to get a lot more out of other players and try to get the jigsaw pieces to fit, right, for this team. And so I would give him a B because he agreed. He was better than average. He did a good job in a lot of scenarios. And again, he got 2 trophies in 2 years. What leads me to pause and what I think is going to be kind of like the nucleus of if he stays or if he goes, and obviously it is what Messi wants is what's going to happen. And people who don't like that, then don't watch Messi and don't take in the, you know, $500 million revenue he's bringing to MLS and bringing to Miami and South Florida. If you don't like it, then that's fine. But he's earned the right to have this kind of control, whether you like it or not, in my opinion. If you don't like it, don't watch. Don't root for him. But, you know, outside of that, this is what I'll say. Although he did so well at bringing other players up and doing things that, you know, getting a lot out of this team, getting trophies, getting winning, breaking records, all of those things he did, in my opinion, he wasn't able to figure out how to make this team maximize every position on the field with Messi, Suarez, Busquets, and Alba playing, right? With those four playing, I don't think he was able, and it could be because of personnel, it could be because of injury. There's a lot of reasons that maybe it's not completely on him. He was not able to get the best out of the other 7 players to make it work because certain things aren't changing, right? Like, you know, a lot of people saying we could have brought in Gressel. So then you have now 4 players on the pitch who aren't going to be able to run in transition. Yeah, Gressel played fantastic. I thought he was great all season. He was consistent. He did what was asked of him. He played multiple positions. Very technically gifted player. But he's incredibly slow compared to his midfield counterparts. And if you want him to come and play up and be able to be kind of that winger role so that Messi can be more of that number 10 and move forward, that's fine. That's great. But if you want him to play in the midfield and play defensively or be in transition, which is what the team needed, let's say last night, Gressel wasn't going to help that, in my opinion, because he's slow. And what we needed was speed. And that's not a knock on him. But that's, again, another thing that Tata tried a lot of different combinations and up until yesterday has tried different combinations, different tactics, different lineups, different formations, you know, sometimes because of injury, sometimes because of choice, sometimes because of international duty, whatever the case may be. But when it comes down to it, he was not able to get the most out of every position around Messi and put them in a position to win. Do I think he could do that next year and is working toward that? Yeah, I agree with Gian. If he's back, I think that's fine because I think he does have the potential. And maybe now with another season with this, with the Barcelona four, he'll have even better feelings about how he can manipulate the other positions. But if he goes, I understand it too, because we only have maximum 3 years of Messi, really 2.5, let's say. It's not about like good enough, a B plus, a B or B minus. You have to be A plus because that's it. It's A plus or nothing with this, with the next year. So we'll have to see.
Yeah. I agree. I think that this team has, at least if we can take something out of this season, it's just the progress that we've made year over year. And I think that if we can continue building off of this, as Xavi has said, it's almost like just going year after year. It's like stepping stone after stepping stone. But at some point, at some point, it stops becoming about development and it's about results. And I think that next year is the pivotal year where it's like, okay, we built off the previous year. Like, it comes to a point where if you don't deliver results, like that's it. And I think that'll be next season. So we'll see how that goes.
I mean, Tata agreed with you in regards to Gresso. That's why he didn't play him, right? And that's why he played Kramaski.
Yeah. And that goes to show, like, you know, then is the roster construction or is the balance of the team or all those things? What do you say then? Because if it's Messi or Gressel, if it's Suarez or Gressel, if it's Matias Rojas or Gressel, if it's Gomez or Gressel, or even if it's a Campana or is it Gressel, it's those five players before Gressel. So then the question is, well, if you only have a Busquets and Bright, then what do you do for the, like, you know, you don't have a second, third, fourth, fifth option, even though for the other positions you do. That, you know, that's a problem that needs to be solved. But I'll go ahead and wrap it up here. We've been over an hour. And we probably could talk for many, many more, but thank you all for listening. Thank you, Xavi, and thank you, Gian, for joining and for going through this. We will be back next week. Xavi, I don't know if you're free. We'll coordinate with you, but we will be back next week to do a season recap and give our overarching opinions on every single player and whether we think they're going to stay, leave, be traded, be loaned, all those things, who we think we may bring in, what we think it's going to look like. And get ready for next season. But just thank you so much for watching today, for commenting, for watching and commenting all season, being there for us through the ups and downs. Sports has ups and downs. If we knew what was going to happen for every single result in history, it wouldn't be a very fun hobby, right? That's part of live sports, is you don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But we will be back next week. We will be back next season. We will be back in a couple weeks as soon as we get to the turn of the year and already start thinking about preseason and roster construction. We love doing the show. We love this community, and we're going to keep doing it, you know, rain or shine. So thank you for watching this episode of Messi & Co. I'm Ashley. That is Gian. And that is Xavi. And we will see you next time.
All right.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.